Good morning, Delaware. It's another summer morning here in beautiful downtown Delaware, and we are just enjoying what's left of the summer. And I know my wife is eagerly awaiting pumpkin spice and orange leaves and wearing fall clothes again. So,
yeah.
But those of us who are clinging desperately to the rest of the summer, we still have a few weeks left, right?
That's right. Until September 22nd.
That is the voice of Nicole Fowles, the communications manager for the Delaware County District Library.
Good morning. And I will cling on to summer as long as I humanly can. I love it.
Okay. That seems fair. Our guest today is Michelle Francis, the executive director of the Ohio Library Council. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, George.
Michelle and I have worked together on various things for libraries for a long time. So it's really great to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about a project that OLC helped spearhead in the state to provide COVID tests through public libraries. And that's a program that we are just now jumping into today. And we will talk a little bit about the return of in-person programming at the library in the second half of the show. But let's talk a little bit about what we're reading, listening to, binging on. Ooh, Nicole, you look like you're really eager to talk about something.
Well, it's because I go, as you know, with my reading, I kind of go in waves. Like I'll read a whole bunch and then I'll talk about them and then I'll kind of have a lull. And so you'll get a lot of lists out of me. And I'm in one of those lulls right now because I'm finishing up. I've already talked about a couple books and I'm wrapping them up and then I'm getting ready to get into the next one. But I was thinking, what could I talk about this morning that I haven't really talked about before? And we're back to school. And I was going to talk about one author that was pretty much the author that changed my life, the Ooh. Author that made me a reader. Wow. And I will credit that to Mr. Roald Dahl.
Oh, yeah.
If you know my reading tastes in this show, there's a lot of like kind of weird and whimsy mixed together. And mm-hmm. if you could describe a children's author yeah. with weird and whimsy, it might be Roald Dahl.
You don't get much weirder and whimsical, more whimsical than him.
Exactly. So now many people will find that kind of their gateway entry to Roald Dahl is maybe Matilda. And I know librarians love Matilda because, of course, can't tell you probably how many librarians have a little Matilda tattooed somewhere on them. The Quentin Blake drawing from the book. That's a good one. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, of course, is another wonderful one as well. The BFG, James and the Giant Peach. But the one that introduced me to Roald Dahl was The Witches.
Ooh.
And that one is just so out there and so wonderful. And that's me as a child. I was like, yes, this is my book. These are my people. I love it. So The Witches is the story of a young boy and his grandmother, and they go on a vacation to a hotel. And there happens to be a convention of some high society women who are coming to the hotel. But the grandma is telling him to be wary of witches because they do exist among us. And if you'll notice, they are always itching at their scalps because they're wearing wigs because they're actually bald. And they're always going to have gloves on because of their long, long fingernails. And they're always going to just have all of these little quirks and things like that. But and they look beautiful when you look at them, but they're really ugly because their souls are ugly. And of course, this hotel that this boy and his grandma go for vacation is having this high society women's club meeting, and the little boy happens to stumble upon it, and he's found out. And when he is found out, the witches use their special powers to turn him into something so that he can't tell anyone that they're there. And so he has to figure out his way to get out of that. So it's a fun book. It is a dark book, though. I mean, you'll find that most of Roald Dahl's stories are, the whimsy, the weird, but they have a little bit of darkness to them as well. Mm-hmm. So I usually recommend Roald Dahl for like third grade and older. Depends on your reading level. But I definitely wouldn't go younger than that. But my daughter has a framed James and the Giant Peach poster in her room. And it's all of the words of the entire book made into a picture of the James and the Giant Peach cover. So I am a fan. So back to school. This was my entry to love of reading.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, what are you reading? I see you've got something in front of you here.
I do. But before I do that, I love the recommendation, Nicole. So now, because as we're getting ready for fall, Halloween is my family's favorite.
Yes.
So The Witches, this is a great book with my 12-year-old daughter.
Yes.
We can talk about and maybe read together.
Yeah,
so
that would be fun.
So the book that I just finished recently, and I did read it, and then I have to recommend the audiobook, though.
Okay.
Because I love, obviously, my background's in government and politics and all of that good stuff. So, but John Boehner's book on the House, and John Boehner, obviously the former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, who's from southwestern Ohio. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good book. It's a good read. It's a quick read. It's not extensively long, which mm-hmm. is a good thing for people who don't have a lot of time, but who want to get in that or to do some reading. But the part that was so amazing about it that I thought were those personal stories mm-hmm. of during his time in office, what it was like, the national figures from other countries that he met with, his travels while he was in office. Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way back to he tells stories about as a boy when he was growing up in southwestern Ohio mm-hmm. and what it was like mm-hmm. and what it was working like working in their family restaurant. And all of these stories, I think, were pretty amazing. And to read the book is one thing, but to have the audio version, because Boehner has that raspy voice.
So he reads it?
He reads it.
Okay.
So
I can't imagine anybody else's voice when hearing John Boehner's words.
Yeah.
You've got to hear that voice.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that cigarette and alcohol-drenched voice of his, yeah.
So that's what, and he talks about the time, probably one of the most moving pieces for me was he talked about when the Pope visited the United States mm-hmm. and came to Washington, D.C. And for him as a grandfather, you know, his big joy was to get his grandchild baptized by the Pope.
Oh my gosh.
And so just to hear that emotion, but it also shows you, I think, which is good, politicians are human.
Yeah.
Our elected leaders are also human. They have this human side.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed it. And I would definitely, the book was good, but if you can listen to the audio version on Libby or whatever, I would definitely do that.
Great. Yeah. I see that's where you had it pulled up here on your phone. on Libby. That's great. So from Southwest Ohio to Northeast Ohio.
Oh, tell us.
My graphic novel that I read this week is My Friend Domino.
Oh, you went to the other one.
I went to the other one, yeah. if you know, a couple of weeks ago, I reviewed Kent State, Four Dead in Ohio by Durf Beckdurf, which was his book last year about the shootings at Kent State. This is an earlier book of his. As it turns out, Beckdurf went to school with Jeffrey Dahmer in the 1970s. Starting at Eastview Junior High and then going on to Revere High School in the Bath Richfield area. And he and his friends formed what they called the Dahmer Fan Club, because Dahmer, although he was kind of a loner and an oddball in the school, was almost like the class clown, because he used to imitate people who were having epileptic seizures, basically. And, you know, high school, junior high, they have no kind of sense of propriety empathy or anything like that. So that was considered funny. And so he wasn't actually a friend. In fact, Beckdurf talks a lot about what the relationship actually was. It says, treated him more like a pet or a mascot than a friend. Mm-hmm. But he knew him all through those junior high and high school years. Like I said, he had kind of the reputation as the class clown. The interesting thing is, where Dahmer learned this was his mother had epilepsy. Huh. He was basically making fun of his mother in class.
Or trying to cope.
One
in some way.
Mm-hmm. Dahmer had a really very difficult home life. His home life was really bad. His parents were constantly arguing and violently, loudly, and just a really tough home life. He had a younger brother who Beckdurf basically leaves out of the book, because he says he's not really part of Jeffrey's story and I don't want to drag his name into all of this. So he's in one panel of the whole thing and then disappears.
Mm-hmm.
But right after Dahmer turned 18 during his senior year in high school, his mother and his father had already separated. His father wasn't living at home. His mother takes the younger brother and leaves him in the house. And she tells him, you can't tell your father I'm gone, because she was violating a court order by taking the brother out of state. She moved back to Wisconsin, where she was from. So Dahmer's left alone in this house, nobody to keep any kind of taps on him. And that's when the first murder occurs, which is where Beckdurf stops the book. He says that as long as Dahmer was struggling and while he still had a choice not to go to the dark side, he could almost empathize with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute he crossed that line, he went from being a figure of some sympathy, some empathy, to just being a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And so he commits his first murder just a couple of weeks after graduating from high school. gets away with it, basically, although there's a really close encounter with the police and almost gets himself arrested. But this is really much more about those high school years, mm-hmm. about how Dahmer evolved during high school. He was a falling down drunk during high school, and the teachers didn't stop him. His parents didn't stop him. Nobody basically was paying any attention to him. He had just kind of faded into the... And so this is the thing that Backdurf really hits hard, is that there were lots of places where his life could have been diverted. It wouldn't have been a great life because he had these deep, dark psychological problems that were not going to be just fixed by, you know, a couple of doses of Ritalin or something.
Or counseling sessions.
Or counseling sessions. Or, you know, yeah, joining hands and singing Kumbaya.
Right.
It was just not going to happen. But he could have been diverted from the life that he ended up living, which was just atrocious. I mean, he tried to go to Ohio State, flunked out after a quarter. Then he went into the Army and got bounced out of there. And then moved to Wisconsin, and that's where he really went on his killing spree. And so he ended up dying in prison while serving a 941-year sentence or life. And he ended up being murdered by another inmate while on latrine cleaning duty.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, you can't, it's just so awful. But Backdurf meticulously documents the story, just like he did in the Kent State book. Unlike most serial killers, Dahmer talked extensively to reporters, police, psychologists, practically anybody who would ask him anything. So he had a huge file of interviews with Dahmer, but he also went to the other sources, the police reports and other things, to verify what he was saying. Basically, the way he conveys the story is through the artwork. Mm-hmm. He conveys that teenage angst, loneliness, and then that kind of increasing psychological meltdown that was Dahmer's life. So there's some pretty graphic elements in this novel. I would not recommend it for anyone less than a pretty mid-teenager.
Mm-hmm.
There's violence towards animals, which, of mm-hmm. course, presages a lot of violence in serial killers. So be warned. But overall, this is just a fascinating study of the making of a monster. And I can't recommend Backdurf's graphic novels more strongly. He's really one of the best. So anyway, again, this is called My Friend Dahmer. It is available through the library. And it may be available on some of our, like on Hoopla. I'm not sure, I didn't check that out. But anyway, highly recommended for people who like graphic novels and local history, basically.
It's true. Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to take a break here. Then we're going to come back and talk to Michelle Francis about what's going on in Ohio's public library. So stay tuned. And with big thanks to our friends at the library for their sponsorship of this show and for so much else that they do for the library. We had a great retreat last weekend. Some good ideas coming out of that. You'll hear more about that in the weeks and months to come, I'm sure. Planning for a fall book sale again, finally. We're working on some ideas for how to clean up the garage at the Delaware Library to make it easier for people to get around and maybe use our conference room for like the DVD sales instead of trying to get everything in one big room. So lots of good ideas coming out. And like I said, more about that to come. Thank you, friends of the library, Karen, Brad, Linda, Penny, everybody. You're just a great team. So
a great
thank
team.
You. All right. So we are with Michelle Francis from the Ohio Library Council. Michelle, I want to thank you for everything you do for libraries. But to start with, let's talk about how we got into the COVID business.
Of course.
How did libraries get
into
COVID?
How did we get here? Yeah. So a couple months ago, the Ohio Department of Health had actually purchased a significant amount of these at-home COVID tests.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already distributing them to health departments, and they were already distributing them to school districts. And they were trying to look at ways to get into local communities and to neighborhoods. And so anytime you talk about community and neighborhood, what do we think of?
Libraries.
So they reached out to us, and they just wanted to make them available for free. And we already had a couple of libraries that were doing it. So we just provided information. Libraries came forward and said, we want to do this. And as of today, we have over 388 locations across the state, library locations doing it.
Need to update my press release.
Well, that's
I think my press release says 130, so that's great.
That's probably 130 systems.
Actually, I think as of Monday, because I was trying to look at, because we're doing some other work, I think over 180 library systems.
That's great.
Wow. So we're very, you know, we're excited. In May, April and May, we saw a surge of where people were wanting these or requesting these. Kids who were doing college visits, they needed negative tests to be able to do a college visit.
Mm-hmm.
We were starting to get into what I would call marathon season. I don't know, but we had several races going on across the state where people had to show a negative test.
Right.
People were wanting to get together for holidays with their family because they haven't seen them.
Yeah.
And so then the summer with the vaccine coming out, there was this little bit of a lull where they weren't as in high demand. And now we're back into that high demand.
So. Right. And I have to admit, I was really skeptical of this project from the get-go and was fairly vocal about it in the library community. And so now I'm eating my words.
Aww. It's okay, George. It's okay.
Well, you know, I just think with the Delta variant, with the upswing we're seeing, with everybody's concern, and with the fact that we do have a vaccine now and people are still concerned, a lot of places are requesting that negative test, as you said, and I think which just was irresponsible for us not to get involved. I think we also have the process worked out so that the staff doesn't feel exposed by this. So what we're doing, and I think a lot of the libraries are doing, is if you want a kit, you come to our curbside service, you call the phone number on the sign, we will bring the kit out and hand it to you in your car. At the Orange Branch, you go use our drive-through window, but you can get as many kits as you need for the members of your family. Just let us know how many. There is absolutely no charge for these. However, we cannot help you do the test.
It's kind of like tax season. We can give you the form, and that's about it.
Right. The instructions are not on the box. We will give you a little slip of paper that has a QR code and a website where you can go to download PDF instructions, or you can download Abbott's app, which is called Navica, which will actually walk you through the process step by step and actually connect you with healthcare professionals if you need guidance and can get you an official negative card.
That's one of the best ways to go with it, because the app can, if you are somebody who maybe this is required by your employer, maybe it's required for a flight, maybe it's required for you to be going to another country or to even volunteer at your kid's school and you need some sort of official proof, the app does work as that, because what's going to happen when you scan the QR, you download the app and you go through the process is it's proctored by an actual professional. And then you get the card and it's in the app and you can pull it up and it saves your history as well. If you have to do this weekly, you know, you can say like, yep, for the past 8 weeks, I've been negative.
One of the pieces that we've heard back from people who have done it, because we've actually had staff that have done it. We've had the libraries have called us and asked us for more. But it only takes like 15 to 20 minutes. So it's not something that's long where you're sitting for a long time waiting for results.
It's going to be shorter than the time that it would take for you to drive to the Minute Clinic, get it done, wait for the results, be exposed to whoever else is in the waiting room, and then go back home.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think also the conveniences can't be beat either. If you're a busy parent, you know, you get the kids put to bed and you can do it after they're all in bed or whatever. So you don't have to kind of fit into their hours. However, if you're not comfortable with this, we also can refer you to the Delaware Public Health District's website, where you can find lots of places where you can get a free test. So if that's more convenient for you, if you feel more comfortable with having a nurse administer the test or another healthcare professional administer it, we can connect you with that. But we would ask that if you're feeling sick, have somebody else come and pick it up, please.
Absolutely.
You know, let's try not to spread anything. So anyway, so thank you for getting us on that track. So, but you know, that's not the only thing going on in libraries these days.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing around the state these days, Michelle?
Well, everybody is busy trying to figure out in-person programming. We're getting ready for National Library Card Sign-Up Month in September.
Starts
next week. I can't believe we're at the end of August.
Nope.
I just can't. So, but all of those things, and now as people have, libraries have come off summer reading programs, they're working with schools to do back to school programs and all of that great stuff. So I can't wait to hear what Delaware County District Library has planned as far as programming.
Well, we can give one big announcement.
Yes, we can.
Are we excited about this?
We are very excited.
We're so excited about this.
We are actually starting in-person programming again.
And the big news is story times are coming back this month, September.
In fact, they start next week on Wednesday. Now, here's the catch. We're going to be doing them outdoors for a while. We got summer. We still have, that's one of the reasons I was saying we still have three more weeks of summer.
Yes.
Four more weeks of summer. We're going to be doing them outside. We'll be doing them. The first one is Wednesday at the Delaware Library at 10:30. On Thursday, we'll be doing Orange at 10:30 and Powell at 10:30. And then on Friday, we will be doing it at Ostrander. And I've lost my page here. What do you know? What time?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock at Ostrander.
So next week, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you can hit a Delaware County District Library story time, just like the old days.
Yeah, and they're all outdoors. It'll be easy for you to spot. They'll all be weather dependent. Most of them are under some sort of covering or some sort of outdoor covering. So even if there is like our Ohio misting or a tiny drizzle, you know, we can go ahead and move forward with it. Keep your eyes to our online calendar on the off chance that, you know, it's thunderstorming, but you can also just look out your window too. If it's thunderstorming, it's probably not going
to
be.
Or tune into WDLR and listen for the weather bug forecast.
There you go.
My 96.7. That's why it's my 96.7.
There you go.
So good.
So we will also be doing some things internally. We are requiring masks for participants at library events that will be held indoors. Mm-hmm. If we're sponsoring them.
Yeah.
If it's an outside group using our meeting room, it's their rules that pertain. If they want you to mask up, then you mask up. And if not, then it's up to you. We'll make the usual exemptions for health or medical or religious reasons. We will ask people to socially distance. So we won't require masks at all for outdoor programs.
Nope.
Because they're outdoors. Nicole just said the online catalog calendar mm-hmm. is your best source of up-to-date information about what we're doing.
Yeah, some of our things have been published in our print newsletter, you know, back in July when we were all, you know, everything was hunky-dory, and then we've made some shifts. So there are a couple programs that have shifted from an in-person to a virtual setting, but there's still a good number of things that are happening in person. Like, we've got our Maker Studio, which has moved to our Delaware Main Library. They're introducing their Maker Studio 101 courses again, and those are going to be in person in the Maker Studio at the Delaware Main Library. You can come and you can take this like little half hour tour. And of course, you're probably going to stay longer than that, because once you find out what's in the Maker Studio, you can't just hang out for a half hour.
I gave the friends who hadn't seen that a tour after the retreat on Saturday, and they were just gobsmacked.
Mm-hmm.
That was fascinating when they saw what they could do and what kinds of things that the Maker Studio is doing.
I think I've given at least three tours and meetings to three different downtown Delaware like vendor groups, and they all come back. They all come back again, and they're like, now how can I use this again? Okay, I've got thoughts. What about this?
Get ready for the holiday season, because mm-hmm. people will want to, I mean, that's one of the biggest things now. It's a huge trend.
Oh yeah, wow. And it's personalization, yeah. And it's stuff that, you know, you could go buy at the dollar store, like a little a little cooking platter, and then you can take it to the Maker Studio and personalize it.
Right, exactly. So, hey, before we get away, the Ohio State biennial budget passed mm-hmm. at the end of June.
It did.
And we had a great success with that. If you want to talk about that a little bit, Michelle.
Sure. We are very appreciative to our state legislators. They made sure that we did not receive a cut in our state funding.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
And thank you,
Brenner.
Michelle.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Thank you, Representative Carfagna, that are in our service
yes.
area.
So they maintained our funding at 1.7% so that our public libraries can continue to do the amazing work and provide those services that are so much needed in local neighborhoods and mm-hmm. In communities. And so we're just extremely appreciative to be able to continue our work.
I find myself constantly talking about how libraries are funded in Ohio, because it's so different from other states. Mm-hmm. And people think it's either, you know, just property tax, or we get a share of like the county's revenue, or we get something, some other magical, or my dad, who I could never convince we didn't get the books for free.
Oh my goodness.
The state for us, it's a third of our funding. So mm-hmm. that little extra share means basically another full-time position for us.
Yeah.
That's how much that it doesn't sound like a huge amount, but when you talk about the size of the state budget and the number of libraries that we share it with, it's pretty important.
Well, and also your costs are going up. I mean, you think about you think about buildings. You also mm-hmm. think about digital collections, mm-hmm. about the strain over the past year and a half, and you increased use of digital collections.
Just competition for the workforce.
Yeah.
And what the difference between what we've been paying in the past and what people can get now working in retail or in other office settings, we really have to pay attention to that. So,
well, and at the end of the day, I mean, when someone comes into the library and they need service or they need something, yes, it may be a book or it may be something digital, but a lot of times it's that one-on-one service mm-hmm. where they need that personal assistance and that personal help from a human
right.
who's going to be able to help them. And so at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about.
And we get at least once a day somebody thanking the staff that I can hear, or I get an email mm-hmm. or we get something posted on Facebook or Google somewhere, people thanking our staff because we got a darn good staff. So, mm-hmm. Michelle, thank you so much. Thank you for the work that you and the Ohio Library Council do for us in public libraries in the state.
Well, thank you, George, and thank you, Nicole. It is always a pleasure visiting you all.
Well, it's great having you here. Gage, thank you so much, and maybe next week we'll be in Lewis Center.
Yeah, that's the hope.
All right. Thank you all. Thanks, friends of the library, and we will see you in the stacks.